John, and Lance.
Drunk and stabbed. Yeah. That's a bad combination.
Yeah.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John is out today and tomorrow. Tomorrow, Dell and I will be holding it down at East River 9. Is Mapes is gone, right? Who's our producer going to be? AJ? AJ DePanza? Hold on, I don't know if Dell can hear him. No, I don't think he can hear him.
He's drinking some Monster, though.
Yeah, he is drinking some Monster.
Can you hear me?
It's not Monster.
That's not Monster?
No, Dell drinks some other fancy drink.
No, in this case, it's a Monster. It's
well, you don't usually drink Monster, though.
No, it's
you usually drink what Abigail used to give you for free.
Well, yeah, it's free. I'm taking it.
But Monster at 9:05 a.m. That's crazy.
Not for me. I've been up since about 4:30.
That is true. That's fair.
Why is that crazy at night? Is that too late to have it?
I guess I'm different. Like, I would be drinking coffee, but I don't really drink.
I don't like coffee.
So that's your coffee. So yeah.
You have to have one or the other.
Yeah.
If you do morning radio, you're going to get addicted to caffeine in one.
Oh, for sure.
One way, shape, or form. I'm a 7 day a week coffee drinker. I get headaches, so I'm literally 365. It's rare that I don't have a coffee. I might miss 2 days in an entire year.
We just got a espresso machine.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have one of those?
No, but I'm thinking about getting an espresso, so I don't have to pay these stupid prices for Starbucks, because yep. at the location it's just crazy. But even when you get, like, I get iced coffee from the stores, and it went from $4.99 to $5.99. I get three glasses out of it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, that's not, you know, $2 per is not bad, but I think it's an even better deal if I get.
I would highly recommend getting the machine, and like now I just drink it because I'm bored. I'm like, I just take shots of espresso all day. Like, I don't. I use it for the substance. You know, I'm not like, getting like a latte or whatever is like nice or whatever. But like, yeah, I mean,
yeah, I'm not really.
I've saved like hundreds of dollars in like a month.
Have you?
Yeah,
I don't. I'm not really a coffee drinker for the taste of it. If there's one that, like, I don't like coffee naturally. It's not like, oh, yeah, these beans. It has dark roasted flavor. Dude, I just want to be able to. Yeah, I need a mainline.
Get you an espresso machine. You just
need a mainline. I put some almond milk in it because it's less rough on your stomach.
Yep.
And I just need to get it down. That's what I'm doing. So
your listeners would benefit from you getting. You'll be on it all. Not that you're not, but
no. Yeah, no. I've had to. I'm on one a lot. That's not
well,
really
that's
a problem.
True, but. Just
that's
not on, really specifically, it's not really.
Yeah, I'm on one, though.
Speaking of, since you were talking about being on, you're just talking about being on one, we were talking about Tari Eason earlier and his reaction to social media, and you took a calm and measured approach to what he was doing and say, sometimes you got to get off social media. Do you remember a time where you were less calm and measured about social media? You remember a time?
I remember one instance.
One instance.
Remember an instance.
Let's remind our, or maybe not remind our guests.
He saves everything.
Let's show Garrett what, you know, preeminent draft expert Lance Zierlein can be on at times. So you hear the professional, the Hall of Famer. Sometimes it goes differently.
Having fun in games, I'm actually looking at everyone's runners and scoring position stuff over the last 3 years. So when you're ready to do some sports talk, let me know.
Robert wants to know, is that the grime from the tile floor you're cutting?
Oh, that's funny. Suck the hole too. Dirty bitch.
Did I say that?
You said SDH. You said
I didn't tell him suck the hole.
Yeah,
I
know. Where he put his brisket on social media and people didn't like it very much.
I tried to cut with a serrated knife with one hand and the other hand holding it. It was a very poor choice of knife. And then you hold the brisket and you cut. Have somebody else film it if you're going to film it. Because the brisket was a good brisket. But if you're trying to use a serrated knife with one hand and you're not even holding the brisket, it was just a poor choice. I put it out there, and then it went it went crazy. Like people, and then the more pissed off I got in the comments, all that does is feed people to like keep going after.
That's so weird,
and the same thing happened to me on, I don't remember if it was like Twitch or if it was people calling or if it was social media, but during the show. But I got, according to what you just played, I guess, I don't recall being that mad.
No, you were furious. Cause
apparently I got
you
mad.
You said you spent the entire previous day dealing with it, and then people started to call in about it.
Well, that's like a shot at his manhood. That's a little different than someone critiquing your basketball skills. Someone critiquing your cooking skills is a little.
I would say with Tari, basketball is his life.
Yeah, basketball is life.
It is the thing that defines him. And if you critique it, it's probably going to be a problem.
I guess I got mad.
Lance has positioned himself to be an expert in a lot of things. At the time, he was really on, I'm a pit master. And then when the pit master gets criticized in a way, he is a victim of a presentation. He can tell people that, hey, the people who actually ate the brisket enjoyed it. It was juicy. People loved it. But the presentation trumps all. And his presentation was like Lincoln Riley style brisket.
Oh, God. That boiled brown brisket.
This is what Lance was dealing with.
And not only that, but once you show weakness, it really doesn't matter if they think your brisket was good or bad or anything. It just doesn't matter. Once you show weakness or that if someone's getting to you, it feeds the trolls. It's their it's their espresso.
Yeah.
That's what they're like, oh, nice. I'm going even harder. And especially listeners to this show, they don't care. They'll just try to get me madder. I'm their entertainment.
People seem to take cooking and grilling and smoking, all that stuff, like, very seriously. I'm not a good cook, chef. So, I mean, that seems like it's a whole nother.
It is. Oh, no, it is. Like, if you're going to show your handiwork online, and then I kind of got a little pissed when I put my pork chop, because my pork chops were unmatched. My steak is unmatched. But then people like, you ordered that. And I know they're just trying to piss me off. That's AI.
Speaking of showing weakness.
Well, Lance's, from what I understand, Lance's brisket was so bad, he made a call to the same third world country that takes all the pre-printed wrong Super Bowl hats and shirts and offered them the brisket, and they declined, said they were okay. No,
Gambia said no?
What?
You can suck the hole too, Shannon. I got it right here. Come on in. Come on in. The hole's right here for you to suck the inside of it.
Wait. I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
Did I say that?
Yes, that didn't sound like Lance's voice.
That didn't sound like something I would say.
Of course you did. You said it.
Why?
You were mad.
Yeah,
you allowed social media and actual callers to drive you to this point.
That's some good editing there, Dill.
No, not a chance. That's full on. I didn't touch that.
I can't be like Tari. Tari wasn't even that mad.
No, he didn't tell anyone.
Tari's not that mad.
Do anything, really.
He just said, you're not even good at your jobs.
Yeah, what did you tell people to do?
I said, it's right here. Come on in. I went very specific. I said, drive up here. I was just short of giving him the address.
And I cut it
53,
off.
53.
I cut it off before you said something worse.
I did?
You mentioned a particular word I don't want to repeat.
Oh, my God.
So when we decide to criticize an athlete for their response to things, perhaps we should take a look
Twitch
internally.
Twitch is now saying, and the outside of it. Like, I'm not...
Take a look internally first.
What's the fun in that, though, you know?
I know.
We can't criticize anybody.
That's true. That's true.
That's okay. That was one time
Show
I got
Tari
mad.
Some graces, all of a
That was one time I got mad.
I wish I was there.
Sometimes you
awesome.
Have to check out. I've gotten better since that.
That was now 7 years ago. That was in 2019.
That was light years ago.
Yeah. You have grown.
Yeah, but that was apparently worse than I remembered. I knew it was bad. I didn't remember it being that bad. Like, oh, I wouldn't want my kids to hear this.
No, that's why I played it after 9. Yeah. Like, no kids are listening.
Wow, was I mad. World Cup, the finals are in. Argentina takes on Spain. South America versus Europe. Messi versus Lamine Yamal and everyone else from Spain. Messi, single-handedly took over the match. He had 2 assists on the goals. Basically, England scored a goal, and I told you this yesterday, Dell, prevent defense prevents you from winning.
Yes, you said
Somebody's uncle is going to say that at the end of a game at every watch party you have. Somebody's going
to
say that.
I was trying to find a comp for this. Like, if we were watching it, since we've been talking some NFL and Texans, what is the comp for what England did? It would be as if every time you went up a score and instead of risking a pick six or fumble, you punted the ball on second down and just said, hey, here, you get the ball back and see what you
well,
can
I know
do.
The opposite was Mario Cristobal having to win and trying to run to show them he was going to stick it up the other team's ass, and then he fumbled and he lost the game. Difference. That's the opposite.
I forgot about that. I can't find a proper comp for what we saw because there is a tactic to doing it. Hey, we're going to put everyone behind the ball and force them
Isn't it basketball just trying to eat up the clock and not getting good shots
at
all?
Yeah, but the shot clock forces you to attempt a shot. So people
If you're early offense, you know, basketball is about early offense. Now, if you're sitting there and you end up with a bunch of rush three-pointers because you're just trying to eat up clock.
But it'd be like if you're up 10 with 2 minutes to go and decide, you know what's what we can do? We're going to run it down to 24 and not take a shot.
I mean, overall, it's kind of like D'Amico Ryan's philosophy of very conservative, lean on the defense, just like in a general observation. Obviously, Texans defense probably you would say is better than England.
Yeah.
Well, but what England did is not that's not unusual. Also, what they did is not unusual. Teams do that all the time.
And the difference is D'Amico wasn't facing the greatest show on turf. It was
messiest
version of that.
That's true.
And if you don't try to
and these little weasels have been coming back the whole tournament.
Yeah. 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 He has already been, at least at the FA, the English Football Federation, has said he's coming back. Tuchel's coming back. So they have already tamped down all the outrage.
They did get pretty far.
Yeah, they made a semifinal.
And they had a chance
for
to
all
win.
The talk about what England is and what they can accomplish since Gareth Southgate beforehand and now Tuchel. They find themselves deep into major tournaments. Now, they haven't been able to close the deal, but they've been, at worst, a quarterfinal participant, whether you combine the Euros and World Cups. In the last, 6-8 years, they go deep into tournaments. They just have not been able to bring a title home.
If Argentina blows out Spain, it's a hypothetical, then it makes it look much better. Like, oh, we could have, should have almost beat by far the best team.
That will be hard comfort to find for them, considering they felt like if we had simply gone and played honorably, we could have won that match. Well, if Argentina beat Spain and was a second World Cup, that is coupled with two Copa Americas over the last, I think, 6 years or so. So you're talking about a team with two continental titles, two world titles. It may be the greatest run that any soccer-playing country's ever had. Because when Spain won theirs in 2010, World Cup, they had a Euro title before then, 2 years before, and then a Euro title 2 years after. So that could be considered one of the best runs ever.
See,
if you put two World Cups in and two Copa Americas, what are we talking about historically?
It's Warriors run. So this is this is what you'll find out about soccer that you won't know because you don't watch it a ton. They don't play at all. Mm-hmm. Like, they will, and this still to this day bothers me, they will sack fire managers. Like, it in season, just it, all they have to do is get pissed off about a loss and they're gone.
That's crazy.
And even they're good managers. Like, they get rid of really good managers and they just, nope, you're gone. And it's just, it's almost like it feels like Dell, sometimes on a whim, people get pissed. Like, you just get mad enough. If the fans get mad enough, they just get rid of this one. It really does matter. If the fans get mad at a manager, they're gone.
Well,
teams just get rid of them.
It also,
on the local level, on the team level, and on the country level, they're just gone.
It doesn't play out here. I guess the biggest thing you could think of is like if you're a fan of a college football team and your coach went to a rival school or played for the rival school. There may be some animus there. That's what's kind of going on in England because Tuchel's German. In the history of the World Cup, no manager has won a World Cup if he wasn't of that nationality, of the team he's coaching.
So he has no room for error with the fans.
So while the FA is like, he's staying, he's a top manager, this loss would fall a little lighter on people if he was an Englishman. But because he's German, there's another reason not to want him around.
Yeah,
he's
not a lot one of us. International soccer, man, it's got so many layers to it that I didn't even know about. And the other thing that will frustrate you in the Premier League, Like, I follow a team, Everton. And Dell's team is like this, too. If you're not one of the top six or seven teams, or if you don't decide that you're going to spend the most money, basically, when you have a good player, it's like following the Astros now. It's just a matter of time before your best players leave. And you don't get a chance to re-up them. We have the goalkeeper for England is my goalkeeper. And the only reason he hasn't left is he loves – I think he was an Everton fan growing up or whatever. He just decided he didn't want to leave. Anthony Gordon, who scored the goal, he used to play for Everton. What happens when you get good enough? You leave. So my team is a feeder team. And Lukaku, who scored from Belgium, the last goal against the U.S. Mm-hmm. He was
both
of
your teams are feeder teams. The Astros are a feeder
team. Astros are now a feeder team. Now, they were a really long-running championship-level caliber team.
That's like the FCS now.
But now they've become an eventual feeder team. Yeah. That's hard to believe, but it's true. It is true. Like, if you don't get a deal done in advance, your player is for sure leaving. And that's the same thing with my soccer team, is I had to get used to, like, wait a minute. Your lineups change no matter who the teams are. You have to get used to international soccer. Hey, the Texans, we want to have a run with a team that looks like this for a long time, right? In soccer, it's like, if you have the same looking team for 3 years, it's a miracle. And that's even
with
the really
good
teams.
So they don't value continuity then?
Mm-mm. That's fair, right, Dale? It's not as important in soccer, continuity. And how can you? You have different managers all the time.
Yeah. Well, even the players, you got like a mishmash of players.
I'm not out of line there. Am I, Dell?
Think about a D'Amico system. There are players that fit it and players that don't.
Yeah.
Just like it. And in soccer, it's the same way. A manager will have
like
a way.
Mike McDaniel
as well.
Right? Zone scheme.
He's going to like lighter offensive linemen. He's not going to want a unit of bigger, heavier offensive linemen. Same way in soccer. You bring in a new manager. He's going to want his type of players. So that could mean a guy who was successful for you, help you either finish higher in the league than you expected or had a lot, or whatever the reason he was successful, he may have to go because he doesn't fit the style. And,
interesting.
And when they flip guys over as quickly as they do, it's not just you fire a manager. It's like some ways in college football or college basketball, a manager will see a bigger opportunity. Like my manager, Fulham, he left. He's very successful. They turned them from an up-and-down club to one that was consistent in the Premier League. He went to go coach a Portuguese side because he's from Portugal. He went to go coach back one of the big clubs in his home country.
There's a ton of turnover in international soccer. If you're at a really, really good team, you keep your good players a lot longer. But even Erling Haaland from Man City, there's talk that he's going
to
leave.
There's a thought that at some point he will go to Real Madrid because it's one of the it's one of the premier clubs in all the world. And if you're a star, you go play at Real. The two in the Norway-England game, the two best players were Haaland and Bellingham. They both played together at Borussia Dortmund, which is a German club. That's a club that wins, that competes at the highest levels, but they're not one of the biggest clubs in the world. So both those guys left. One went to Real Madrid in Bellingham. The other in Holland went to Man City.
It's a high level. It's just Premier League
and,
team.
And Dortmund is
money,
high level money,
money prestige.
And because those guys, Dortmund is a developmental club, so they get guys who are young. They show out, and then the word is you sell them to another team, and you make all that money and more back for all your investments. So that's part of the game. How it goes?
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff. I'm going to bring one more thing since we're already late for a break. We can maybe snap
or we
off.
Just go to break.
Well, yeah, I guess we can just go to break. I want to talk about Caitlin Clark. It's not going to be a long one, but she's starting to get on my nerves a lot. So when we come back, I want to mention that. And we've got some – I still got to ask you about your time at wide receiver. 923 here on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
.928 here on the show. Dell, who's up? Or Garrett, who's up next? I can't see the...
Elliot, NFL Elliot. Odds.
Oh, okay. That's our guy, Elliot. What's up, Elliot? How you doing?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Good morning. Good to hear you today. had a NFL odds question, but first I just wanted to quickly touch on the Argentine beating England. I was at the Red Lion yesterday, and casual soccer fan would be it was nuts. And I'm the epitome of a casual. Like, I've watched maybe 5 games in my entire life, and I'm drunk 4 out of the 5 except yesterday, so I know nothing of what's going on. But it felt like Argentina had like 30 chances in the final 15 minutes, and I'm standing there with a tilted head like, why is England letting them stay on their side of the field and take shots? And I was like, it felt like the Astros telling Hunter Brown, hey, just close this game out. Just throw heaters down the pipe and see if we can get a bunch of pop-outs and some strikeouts. Then Ohtani and Freeman piss rod a few 400, and you're like, what happened? That was like an analogy. I was like, why are they just taking shot after shot after shot? It's like, hey, Hunter, just throw heater, throw 27 curveballs, see if we can just get out of this game. And then you look up and you're like, what just happened?
That's not a bad one, but it's also like change. It's like having a 1-run lead in the seventh inning, bottom of the seventh, and you're a home team. You got a lead, and you just change your approach at the plate. Like, you're not trying to add. You're just trying to, hey, let's just swing first pitch. Let's just try to, you know, or let's go ahead and you know, not be quite as aggressive trying to score a run. We'll just try to protect it with our bullpen. No, you always want to, like, yeah, in soccer you're not going to score as many goals as you will a run. But there is possession in the ball. The longer you have the ball, the less they have an opportunity to score on you. And I can't tell you how often that happens in soccer matches. This isn't just England. This happens all the time where teams get a lead and they'll just take the last 20 minutes and just fade the bombardment that's coming. They just know they're about to take, you know, they just sit back and they call parking the bus, and that's what they do. They just sit back and try to fade that. This is Argentina. Like, this is a chance to move on in the World Cup. Be a little more aggressive. You know, they had Jordan Pickford was on his goal kicks. He was trying to kick it near the sideline, and I got the sense that he didn't even mind if it went out of bounds. It was forcing Argentina to build up from back, but from a little further back. But England also wasn't pressing, so it didn't matter. But that whole thing pissed me off. But, God, going to the Red Lion, I was at the Phoenix for an England match one time. Watching when the English fans lose. Oh, I watched with the French. I was at Chardon French restaurant, and they lost. And it wasn't a rowdy crowd, but it was full. That whole French restaurant was full, and that was a 2-0 ass kicking, if there is such a thing.
Yeah, it was interesting, especially for me who doesn't really know what's going on. I'm like I don't understand what I'm seeing here. Just Messi just teeing it up for piss rods into the guy. I didn't get it. So a casual gets very confused of why this is going on. But changing gears, my question was about NFL odds. I don't know if y'all saw the recent ones, but they have the Cowboys in the same ballpark as the Bengals, and they have them above the Bears. I'm sorry, the Broncos, not the Bengals. They have the Cowboys in the same ballpark as the Broncos, and they have them above the Bears in regards to odds to win the Super Bowl. And I didn't understand that, and even Colin pointed it out yesterday on his show. There's something Vegas is seeing or teeing up, and I just wanted to get y'all's feel for that. Obviously, they've improved their roster and made some changes, but having them above the Bears seems blasphemy, and I just wanted to get y'all's feedback on that.
Yeah, so I guess, like, for the Bears, I could see a slight regression for the Bears. They should be better offensively, but they've had some turnover on the offensive line, I believe, a new left tackle, and then Drew Dahlman, their center, I believe, is who it was, retired. So potentially less, you know, good pass protection. And then on defense, you know, Dennis Allen, I believe it's his second year there, but I think they were a defense. If you listen to a lot of these, like, you know, analytic guys, they talk about regression or look for things that aren't sustainable. They seem to have been a very turnover worthy dependent defense, and they, you know, people assume that can kind of regress back to the mean. So I could see that as being a reason why the Bears may not be as high as we think, or, you know, like you said, where they should be. For the Cowboys, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're weighing a lot into Christian Parker, the new defensive coordinator, on that defense. Obviously, we know that offense, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, who had a heck of a year last year and is, you know, rising among receiver ranks, as he should. But yeah, I mean, it's all going to depend on their defense. And I don't know that the Cowboys should be that high. They probably should be at or around the Bears, in my opinion. But I don't know. What do you think, Lance?
I don't know why I think the Cowboys. I was asked this on. I did a show with Matt Castle and Bobby Bones or whatever, and they asked me about the Cowboys, and I had to take a look at their schedule for a piece on NFL.com where we predicted every team's win total. And I just came away thinking the Cowboys are going to be better this year. I just think Pickens and Dak had a good year last year. You got Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. I think you're going to be better defensively. You can't be worse. You'll be healthy. I think you'll be better defensively. I like the change at defense coordinator. I have a feeling the Cowboys are going to be a better team this year. Now, I'm a big fan of the Bears. I think the Bears have a lot. Now, the regression could come because they were a 13-win team. So 11 would be a good year for them, I think, and they're going to have a tougher schedule this year. They don't have a last place. They have a first-place schedule. So that will automatically be tougher. But I'm kind of a believer in the Bears as a team. I think the Bears have a chance to go deep into the playoffs. I see Caleb Williams turning the corner. I think he's really turned the corner. And I've talked to people in that building who said his mentality has completely changed. Like, he's become another version of Ben Johnson. Where, is it Ben Johnson? Is that the
yep.
name? No, yeah, Ben Johnson.
Yep.
Where he talks like him now. In the meetings, he talks like him, where it's the same verbiage and language and mentality. So I guess once you get a quarterback who's talented, buys in, and is consistent, anything's possible in the NFL. It really is. That's why we're waiting for CJ to kind of dial it in and lock it in. We're hoping he's there. Which leads to this. We haven't gotten to this conversation. There was Dune, who I follow. I followed Dune on social media, and he had the comment. This is what he said. It is Twitter said, or this Culture Crave said, what is your favorite tweet ever? Twitter was launched 20 years ago today. Wow, it was launched in 06. What is your favorite tweet ever? And his favorite tweet ever was from 2020. And remember, this is pre-CJ, 2020. This is Deshaun Watson territory. He said, here's the deal. I'm going to say it out loud. If your quarterback needs everything to be perfect for him to be successful, then he's not a franchise quarterback. I followed up with, this is the universal truth. When I hear fans of quarterbacks, and this goes for quarterbacks, for any quarterback in the league, making excuses about how they need more of this and more of that and then more of that, I question whether or not they realize they don't have a franchise quarterback. I'm not saying quarterbacks don't need help, but it's never going to be perfect, and the franchise quarterback is supposed to make up the difference. See, Josh Allen has to make up the difference. With a subpar, at one point he had an average running game. He's got a better running game now. Now his wide receiving crew is really not very good. It's very, very average. Keon Coleman looks like a bust when they drafted him. But Josh has to make up. He's the type of quarterback who has to make up the difference. Now, Lamar Jackson, for years, made up the difference. Joe Burrow had to make up the difference. I'm going back to 1 year with Joe, kind of, because he's been injured. But when they went to a Super Bowl, he had a sucky offensive line. Mm-hmm. Like, they were not good. But he had, you know, he had Joe Mixon. He had some good wide receivers. But Patrick Mahomes, yeah, he did have Tyreek Hill at one point, and he had Tyreek and Travis Kelce in his prime at one point. You know, won Super Bowls that way. He won Super Bowls without Tyreek Hill. He's won Super Bowls without a plus-plus running game. Patrick Mahomes is an example of a franchise quarterback, an elite franchise quarterback that doesn't need everything to be perfect, and he still has a major impact because he's a playmaker. Josh Allen is a playmaker. You don't have to be a play extender to be a playmaker. It helps. But I hear, you know, if you always have to have, well, he needs more this, he needs more that, and you keep adding that, and then you say, well, he needs this now. Well, then you have a game manager. Then you have a game manager, and that's fine, and you want to build the roster up around him. But those guys shouldn't be paid $50 and $60 million a year. It's the construct of the league where that's just how it works now. Those guys are going to get a certain amount of money. Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, Trevor, you want him to be that player. He has lots of talent. He has traits. But he hasn't consistently been that guy, and he got paid. That's the way it works. C.J. Stroud, if he wins this year, even if he's average, he's probably going to get the extension. If he's not that good, he will play the fifth year out, and they'll consider, you know, and they'll consider a franchise tag the next year is how it will look. But, you know, just I think that's true. Franchise quarterbacks, You everyone needs help. You can't have a bad team. You have to have help. You can only do so much if your defense isn't good. You can only do so much if you don't have at least an average offensive line. You need to be average at least at those positions. But I do believe that franchise quarterbacks can fill in some of the gaps that are left by rosters that are incomplete.
Yeah, and so I think Stroud can do that. I think like my rebuttal or point to focus on that would be, we're early in this. He's only played 3 years. Like a lot of the guys you mentioned, you know, have had their struggles early on. And I think this kind of stems from, you know, a lot of dialogue, people defending CJ. And I get both sides. Like, yes, there is nuance to improving things, but also at the same time, you need to do stuff. But I mean, he's also been accomplished. I mean, he's won 3 playoff games in 3 years. And whether you want to say it's the defense or not, you know, he had the awesome rookie year. But I think it changes year to year. Teams change. I think, you know, recently now with this dominant defense and the way it ended, it looks worse. But rookie year, the defense was bad, and he was the one leading the charge. So he's shown that he can do that. And to me, he's shown that he can make the plays. He can be the creator out of pocket, out of structure. And there's an argument that he's better like that than he is potentially in this new system that he supposedly wanted, where he wanted command at the line of scrimmage and all that stuff. So I do think there is nuance. Like, you know, I know you mentioned Josh Allen, but like last year, I know early in his career didn't have a run game, maybe quite as good, but last year his run game was insane. I would say for Patrick Mahomes, one, first off, he's Patrick Mahomes. That's like a whole nother conversation. But I would say he had...
What makes him special, though?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't even like include him in the franchise. I don't think it would be fair to compare CJ or any other, you know, potentially teetering franchise quarterbacks to him. But I would also say he has Andy Reid, too. I mean,
yeah.
Again, I know this kind of goes back to his point. Like, I'm making excuses now, but...
No. But it doesn't preclude him from making special plays at special moments.
Yeah.
But obviously, your best chance for success is if your defense is good, which a quarterback has nothing to do with. If you have a good head coach or play caller, yeah. I mean, that obviously helps. Now, but see, I always kind of... I don't know. I felt some type of way when... people would blame Slowik when CJ didn't play well.
Yeah.
In year two, he would catch the blame. But he got. But when CJ did play well in year two, there was never, man, Bobby Slowik had a great game. It was always CJ did the good stuff, but he wasn't responsible for any of the bad stuff. And I'm using CJ as a local example. This happens everywhere across the league. Fan bases will get in arguments about their quarterback. So trust me when I tell you, this is not unique to Houston
at all. For sure.
You have this conversation about Jaden Daniels. You have it about everybody. It's about everybody. But it always bothers me, and maybe this is just being the son of a coach, and then my brother's a forever coach, is that the coaches, and I had got into it with John a little bit about the offensive, you know, about offensive line stuff last year with Cole Popovich. Like, you can't be... the offensive line, when the Texans were so much better at picking up stunts and twists and not being confused by games, that's coaching. Yeah. That's not just – but similarly, coaching needs to be part of – you know, also Chris, whoever's the O-line coach before him.
Strouser.
Chris Strouser. You know, his job is to – now, I think it's a combination. They had low football IQ slash bad instincts with their offensive linemen. But it's still the quarterback, it's still the offensive line coach's jobs to get them on the same page. You have to get them prepared, and you have to drill that into them. But I never like it when a coach gets all of the blame when it doesn't go well, but when it goes well, the players are incredible. Like, there's got to be little balance. You got to say, hey, you know what? There were some times that not saying that you didn't want to move on from the play caller. That's fine. You want to move on from Bobby Slowik. Slowik had his moments. CJ didn't win Rookie of the Year by himself.
He got heavily over-criticized, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Yeah. I thought a lot of the criticism was fair criticism.
Yeah.
But some of it was deflecting from the play of the quarterback going down. But at the time, we just thought, you know, you shouldn't see a regression from year one to year two. Yeah. But once you hit year three, I make an excuse for CJ that – here's another rookie play caller. That's on the Texans for hiring a rookie play caller.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of on them. But now that we're year two with that play caller, I'm expecting CJ to take a leap this year. I really am. Yeah. I'm expecting a running game to make it easier for him.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think what they did with this offense, like, we're all, you know, we're so excited that we finally got a team that's contending. We want the Super Bowl now. I think that they could have maybe done like a microwave quick fix and hired somebody who may have given you a better offense right off the bat last year. I think they're
Chip
thinking
Kelly, of course, he cost an arm and a leg, and then that didn't end up working out.
Yeah, but yeah, so like somebody like that, or you know, you go with you know a vision of like a more complex offense, you know, more New England Patriots, Earnhardt Perkins style type offense with Nick Cayley that might set you up better for the long term in the future, and it's going to take time initially to get going. And I think that that's the path that they went, like knowing there's going to be growing pains early on. But once we get this thing rolling year by year, we'll now have a system in place that can, you know, complement our defense and be better overall for the team as well. So I think that's part of it. But yeah, I mean, I think it is odd that, you know, you can do both. You can criticize the player and the coaches. It doesn't have to be it's all the OC's fault and not the quarterback's fault and vice versa. So that being said, like obviously Stroud has, you know, had his moments, and then I think something too that's hard for us to tell as fans, but in this new Earnhardt Perkins offense, which is New England what Kaylee's running, there's a lot of, you know, autonomy for not only the quarterback to make decisions at the line of scrimmage and, you know, check routes, this and that, but the receivers, the O-line, et cetera. You know, I watched recently a podcast with Julian Edelman who kind of broke down the playbook, and he played for the Patriots. And he goes into depth to my point that it takes time to get to that point to where you can be at the line of scrimmage making all these checks. And his biggest thing was it's not only, you know, you have one factor. You got a young quarterback. You got a first-time play caller. He's not talking about the Texans in general, but it extrapolates to it. But receivers, you got young receivers. You got Jalen Nolan, Jaden Higgins. People are wondering why Jalen Nolan didn't play. Maybe he didn't know all these complexities.
That's what it sounded like from the coaching staff. Some of their comments they made, I realized he wasn't where he was supposed to be a couple times.
And, like, people don't realize, like, everyone has to be on the same page at the same time. So, like, you know, if – and I'm not saying that I know every play was this guy's fault and that guy's fault. It's just speaking to the broader picture that, like, I know it's frustrating because we want to win now, but you would assume this year not only Stroud, but you have Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noll, another year in the system, Nick Cayley, second-time play caller. You got better O-line. So, yeah, there's a lot of nuance to the whole conversation. But I mean, he's not wrong, you know, like there shouldn't be blatant blanket excuses for quarterbacks, but I would argue as it pertains specifically to Stroud, it's still early. I know it's a relevant convo because a contract's coming up, but part of that would be a projection, maybe some things you can't see now if they were to extend them anytime soon.
Well, so you play wide receiver in college at SFA. Oh, we have to break. Oh yeah, we got a break. And then I got to get to another break, right? Oh, so we're way past this.
Yeah, you're way past.
Oh, okay.
When I'm on, we like to do long segments, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like
that's my fault.
No, it's not.
Is it like a podcast? Or?
Yeah.
No, it's not a podcast, and it's not the guest's fault.
I'm kind of a podcast guy, though.
Understood. He's not a podcast guy, and we still operate that way.
All right, 9:47, we'll break it. We'll come
back. Maybe we should start a podcast.
We'll do stuff after that.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I'm not doing news of the weird today, but did you guys see the video of the girl who was practicing pole dancing in a Houston apartment here? She had put the pole up. I don't know. She put it up near the sprinkler head, and when she's trying to spin around a pole, it cut, like she pulls it. It's one of those where you have to, you know, I guess you unscrew it to where it gets higher and higher, and it's not, I don't think, it wasn't bolted in, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see the video, Dell?
Sorry, I don't get that on my algorithm.
You get stripper.
It's a little below your level.
Yes,
you get.
I
admit a lot of.
It's a little too PG for
just
you.
Just a lot of soccer conversation on my algorithm. That's,
well, I was looking at John's computer and I saw.
Sure,
this.
Sure. In LA, all the way from LA, you saw his computer.
Oh yeah, he's in LA.
Yeah, you can't
he's
even make that lie. You can't even get that lie off.
Who was sitting there earlier?
No one. It's just you.
I guess it was mine. But she was trying to spin around or something. She was watching a video, a tutorial, and she's recording, her phone is sitting there in the background. The pole starts to come down, like scrapes off of the ceiling, and it scrapes all the way across and knocks the sprinkler, the small sprinkler head, completely off, and it just starts dousing her apartment, just a flood of water. And I had that feeling when I'm watching, like, oh my God, what did she do? Who do you call? You can't call 911. You have to try to get to the head of the apartment as fast as you can, and then they have to call a maintenance man to turn the water off. And I didn't even want to. I didn't even want to follow up on the story just because I was
turned into a wet T-shirt contest, I guess.
Oh yeah, well yeah, at least that.
Well, how does that video get out? Like,
she had to put it out herself. She had to have, right?
So then you feel no sympathy for her. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she probably thought, well, I'm probably going to have to make some money.
Yeah. Might as well monetize it.
I don't know how I'll monetize this. immediately, I'm in shock because I'm like, oh my gosh, this cannot be happening to me. Her downstairs neighbor got flooded out too. Furniture ruined. She had to move to a different unit. A coworker had given her the pole 3 days earlier, just showed up like, hey, I got a pole. You want it? And she said, yes. She and a friend installed it without anchoring it to the ceiling. Just relied on tension between the floor and ceiling. She told the media, it wasn't even a thought that it could possibly hit the sprinkler. We were more worried about it hitting a wall. She says she is officially done with in-home pole dancing.
In-home.
good idea. I haven't mentioned the Caitlin Clark thing, but, you know, I'm kind of, as somebody who's been a fan of watching her play and what she's brought in terms of awareness, this crime, like, she's out of control now. It's already a pain in the ass that the government's trying to get involved with the WNBA now to protect Caitlin Clark. Look, I think she's taken some crap that she didn't need to take unnecessarily because people just don't like her. People in the league don't like her for different reasons. But it's really gotten out of control. She was defending somebody the other day, and the girl, all she did was like dip her shoulder, create contact, and then fade away. It was a basketball move. Caitlin Clark watched the shot and then kind of a delayed reaction, went to the ground and was down there for a while. And I thought she, just watching it in real time, I thought, okay, oh man, she got really hurt. And then when I watched the replay, and when the announcers watched the replay, they couldn't really find anything that was, you know, I thought she got elbowed in the face, and she didn't get elbowed in the face. And then she starts yelling at the officials, like, out of control from the bench, from everywhere. Yesterday, they lose to whoever, the Valkyries, and she's driving to the basket. I'm just going to show it to you right now, Garrett. She's driving to the basket, and I want you to see what happens here. She's driving to the basket, creates a little contact. They go knee to knee is what you have to see. Is they go knee to knee, so she starts to limp up the court. And that happens, right? The girl.
Yeah.
And then watch her flip out on the official, starts.
That's from the same play?
From the same. It's because of the same play. And the official's being calm about it. And then there's an article where that talks about, she says, and Caitlin Clark. Now, on this play, you'll see it again. All the girl's trying to do is go up and just defend her. She's not.
The contact, if anything.
Yeah, this isn't Bad Boy Pistons.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark created the contact, and then she's screaming at officials, screaming at everybody, and then she says, the ref can't miss that. Then I have to play with a contusion on my leg the rest of the game.
Oh my gosh.
Ridiculous. The ref said I initiated the contact, which is fine.
That's what I said.
But you can't knee me in the leg and knock me over.
That's crazy.
You went leg to leg. This was not. Yeah. It was clearly not intentional when you watch it. So, I don't know, man. She's just become... I don't know if some of this other stuff that where she was, you know, treated with a lot of physicality. I don't know if it's just something that's on her mind now, but she's been like being a baby about anything, screaming at officials about stuff that is totally not something basketball players should be complaining about.
I mean, I admittedly,
a clashing of the knees is no big. That happens when
it's
you
an
create
accident
contact.
And you started it. Yeah, just because it hurts doesn't mean that somebody's in the wrong. I mean, I admittedly don't really follow this, but like I feel like this has been the rap on her initially. Is like she's kind of like competitive, whiny, maybe, and so like maybe, you know, this whole thing is just crazy with her. But maybe that's a big part of it. Maybe people don't like the way she responds like that, and that's
it's
part.
Getting to be like that for me. Yeah. Where I love the watching her play basketball. I think she's really talented. Turns it over too much. But and look, I'm not saying I tune into a bunch of WNBA games. But what I am saying is that it's kind of getting to be a turnoff with some of the stuff that's over the top. Like some of it is not It's just standard basketball. What are you complaining about?
Well, you got to put the,
and why are you screaming at officials?
WNBA like, and the rest need to do something. I guess they've allowed this problem to surface.
Yeah, you, some of it is they let, I mean, they let something go too far.
Yeah.
Like, she was getting, some of it went too far with people in the league. I was like, man, part of me just said, man, if she just shut it down and left, they, their TV ratings would tank and blah, 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 which is not untrue. But now point. Now she's starting to get on my nerves. Now it's like, come on.
Stop. Maybe she knows that too. Like she knows she can do whatever she wants.
Yeah, I think she's just frustrated, but whatever. Well, I guess we'll end it on that note. That's going to do it for this show. Tomorrow, Dell and I will be out at East River 9. And you had, by the way, Smalley, the U.S. golfer, had a double bogey on his last hole. Bryson DeChambeau is tied at the top spot at -4 in the Open. And you had Scottie Scheffler dropped to 2 under right now. So he'll be, he's finished his round. So he'll be on the chase from this day forward. If we're looking at for, well, I don't know about from this day forward, but certainly coming into round two, we will have the leaderboard updates for you tomorrow from East River 9. You can come out and see us if you choose. I already know Niall's going to be there. So that is what it is. Thank you to Garrett for coming in. We appreciate you. Hope you had a good time doing this.
I had a blast. I really appreciate you guys, man. This means a lot and had a lot of fun.
Coming up next, Dell and AJ. What? Oh, I'm going to do a spot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. But you and AJ are going to be next.
Sure.
Yeah.
But don't forget, you still have stuff to do. Like talk about where you might want to watch the World Cup final.
You mean like Taqueria Sarandas?
Perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, I told you that earlier. If you're too stupid to take the... to take my good advice, I don't know what's wrong with you. Maybe you say, I don't watch World Cup, Lance. I only watch American football. Okay, that's fine. Why don't you go to Taqueria Sarandas for lunch today? Oh, wait, you can actually go in right now. They're open all the time. They're open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's one of the cool things about those of us who love to have our own early lunch is that we can stop in anytime we want and go grab lunch menu, lunch items off the menu and order a lunch at 10:30 after our radio shows. But if you want breakfast, they've got a robust, full breakfast for you. They've got your lunch items. They've got dinner. Authentic Mexican food, great flavor. They've added some Tex-Mex items on the menu as well, if that's your jam. And they've got excellent margaritas, a variety of different types of margaritas and beers for you to choose from. All at very, very good prices. It's become tougher and tougher to find good Mexican restaurants that also have, you know, have prices that you can afford. And yet Taqueria Sarandas is still right there. It's Taqueria Sarandas. Check them out today. Stop in at one of their over 20 locations around the Houston area. TaqueriaSarandas.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports. ESPN 97.5.
Bye, babe.